Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, May 22nd. When the Colorado legislature passed Omnibus Senate Bill 267 at the end of the session last week, it put to rest, for the moment, ongoing discourse about the state of rural hospitals and how they should be funded. In the weeks preceding its passage, rural hospitals anxiously awaited their fates and contemplated the disastrous cuts to their budgets that were being spoken of in the State House. Here in Delta County, rumors circulated that Delta County Hospital would have to merge with Montrose County Hospital into one system. Jason Kleckler, administrator at Delta County Memorial Hospital, spoke with KVNF News and said that was never really an option. Further, the two hospitals are in ongoing discussions about how best to provide services for both counties.
What we're doing right now is we're having discussions about how we can work better together and collaborate. We're not having discussions about merging into one hospital system, but we are having discussions about how can we recruit together to bring in a specialist that can serve both communities. Last year, we entered into an accountable care organization agreement with Gunnison Hospital, Montrose Hospital, and Delta Hospital, and that's to provide better care coordination, primarily for Medicare patients. So we are having those discussions. Our theory is that we all want to remain independent. We all want to have our local governing bodies. However, we also know that the more we work together, the stronger we'll be. And that means we'll remain independent. We'll have a better chance at remaining financially viable. But we'll also be able to keep some of those larger systems out and keep that local rule and keep that local community hospital feel. So yes, those discussions are happening and we are coordinating care between the two communities, but there's not a discussion right now in regards to being one system.
And stay tuned for Local Motion on KVNF tomorrow night. KVNF News will have more comments from Kleckler, as well as interviews with Representative Millie Hamner, Senator Carrie Donovan, and Capitol Coverage reporter Benta Berkland. We'll discuss the hospital provider fee, Senate Bill 267, and other issues involved with the end of the legislative session last week. That's Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Local Motion on KVNF. Deportation concerns are driving many Colorado families to non-government food pantries for assistance and to churches where many feel safe. Eric Galatis has this story.
Children born in America, regardless of their parents' immigration status, are U.S. citizens, and many are eligible for health insurance coverage and food stamps. But the Trump administration's tough talk on immigration, along with an uptick in ICE activity in so-called sanctuary cities, is keeping some kids from accessing programs. Javier Racho, who works with Hunger Free Colorado's Food Resource Hotline, says the current political climate is affecting families across the state.
People are afraid of applying. People want to opt out of the Medicaid and food stamp program due to fear that they're going to be targeted by the government. Children are missing out on food, and we're going to have kids going to bed hungry, going to school hungry.
He says undocumented immigrants who aren't eligible for assistance programs are concerned that they could face deportation if they get benefits for their eligible kids. Racho says fear is largely spread by word of mouth, and more outreach is needed to encourage parents to get kids the help they need. According to the National Immigration Law Center, so far no laws have been changed that would put parents at risk. In 2015, nearly 1 in 10 food stamp recipients were U.S. citizen children living with non-citizens. Racho notes with schools closing for summer recess, many kids will lose access to meals and the school nurse.
Our public schools could only do so much, so the rest is up to us to get our children what they need and make sure if something happens to them that we could take them into the ER or to the hospitals without hesitation or without thinking about what's going to happen.
Racho says deportation concerns are driving families to non-government food pantries for assistance and to churches where many feel safe. He adds Colorado's economy could also take a hit if money that could be spent at local grocery stores isn't accessed and has to be returned to the federal government. Families can connect with benefits and other resources by calling the Hunger Free Colorado hotline at 855-855-4626. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
In a press release, the Colorado Department of Transportation announced that work on the Blue Creek reconstruction project will resume. The mile points for the project are on US 50, mile marker 121 to 123.5, between Gunnison and Montrose in Gunnison County. Work on the project will continue through the summer with an anticipated completion in September. Motorists should expect delays for up to or more than 10 minutes when traveling through the construction zone. Wide loads larger than 12 feet will be restricted through the work zone during working hours. The speed limit will be reduced to 35 miles per hour throughout the work zone for the duration of the project. Work resumes today, May 22nd. Normal working hours will be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Weekend work may also occur if a need is determined and agreed upon. SMEA Construction is the prime contractor on this $7 million project. Colorado threw a statewide party on Saturday to celebrate publicly owned lands.
Colorado is the first state in the nation to establish a holiday recognizing the value of public lands and kicks off its inaugural celebration on Saturday with events across the state. There's an elephant revival concert, trail cleanups, and 8 special beers from local breweries will be tapped, each honoring special tracts of land owned by all Americans. Aaron Kindle with the National Wildlife Federation says most Coloradans can look out their window and see public lands that are used for hiking, fishing, hunting, and more.
There's millions of dollars generated from those lands. There's lots of businesses that are born of public lands that wouldn't exist without public lands. It's so woven into the fabric of our Colorado lifestyles, it's kind of surprising we don't celebrate it more.
The debate over public lands is back in the spotlight after President Donald Trump ordered a review of all national monuments over 100,000 acres in size designated in the past 2 decades, including Colorado's Canyon of the Ancients. Some Colorado politicians who want to see lands transferred to states only supported creating the holiday to draw attention to what they say is bad federal management. Conservation groups worry that handing federal lands over to states would open the door for selling off pristine areas and lead to increased extraction activities. And Kendall points out that preserving public lands protects the outdoor recreation industry, which generates $887 billion in consumer spending annually and supports more than 7 million jobs.
Sure, we need mining, we need grazing, we need all these other things. A lot of those industries are temporary. That's not the case if you have a core area that can always drive the economy so long as that area is there and intact.
The bill to honor Colorado's public lands eventually passed with bipartisan support and was signed into law by Governor John Hickenlooper in 2016. Colorado Public Lands Day is the third Saturday in May each year. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.